Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick-and-pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Rajan Walia, the banger in the paint. How you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good.
All right, guys. I'm glad to hear everybody's doing well, but we have one major trade to talk about. We mulled it over the weekend, to say it like that. Russell Westbrook is now a part of the Houston Rockets in exchange for Josh's favorite player, Chris Paul, and two first-round draft picks. Josh, okay, you've been a noted Westbrook hater for the past, I don't know, 6 years or so. Is that accurate?
Ever since he came in the league, but I do enjoy watching him play. I just don't think his play style is conducive with, you know, a championship-level team.
Look at Josh being all diplomatic.
Yeah, come on, man. Do you actually enjoy watching him play?
Oh, he's trash. How about that?
There we go.
That's what we've been waiting for. Can he actually fit with James Harden? There's been a lot of talk that, you know, now Harden can spot up and just wait for the shots. He won't have to carry the load as much. Westbrook can also just set still. But then again, you're also taking two guys who rely heavily on ISO ball to sort of just stand and wait. That's kind of a weird concept to take on right now.
Yeah, especially with Westbrook on the wing, if Harden's a ball handler, because Westbrook, as we know, is one of the worst high-level or high-volume three-point shooters in NBA history. So, I mean, if he's catching on the wing and, you know, immediately going to the basket, that could work in certain play sets. But overall, I am not a big fan of this fit. I understand why they did it, because they want to, you know, increase their ceiling going into next year, the next couple of years, because Westbrook is younger than Chris Paul. But overall, I'm not a big fan of this deal.
So are we projecting, let's just think of like who's going to finish the game for them, theoretically, right? You're going to have Westbrook, Gordon, Harden, Tucker, and yeah. Capella?
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the lineup going down the stretch. I kind of like look at this trade for the Rockets as in, I don't think they got considerably better, but I think they're just trying a different approach, especially with Paul making that crazy money he is on his contract. I feel like they're probably at the same level. Like they're going to be maybe less fun to watch, but I think they just want to try something new.
I just like to point out Chris Paul and Westbrook are making the exact same dollar totals, except Chris Paul has one less year on his deal. Even though he is older, they're both making the insane money that you mentioned. So yeah. If this doesn't work, they're stuck with Westbrook.
Yeah, but Westbrook is considerably younger, though. Right? Like, Chris Paul is... How much? Yeah, that's a pretty big difference. Especially for a point guard? A small point guard at that rate? Like, Chris Paul is barely 6 feet tall. And we've all seen what's happened to like small point guards in the past. When you drop, you just drop off, like Isaiah Thomas. Not current Isaiah, but like old Isaiah.
On the other side of things, though, with Westbrook, you've seen what happens to athletic guards when they start losing their athleticism, right? So I'd rather take the skill set of Chris Paul, even though he's, you know, often injured. But he's a guy that can still get his shot off and still shoot really well from the three-point line and be a leader at the point guard position, getting guys open looks, whereas Westbrook, you know, if he starts breaking down, you can look at it from that angle as well and be like, you know, this guy's not going to be able to make it as a starting level point guard if he has another knee injury, for example. But that's down the road, obviously. Hope it doesn't happen to him, obviously. But, you know, in terms of breaking down, I think they're on the same trajectory. But again, Chris Paul is 3 years older, so I get, again, why they did the trade.
How much of that is just you being a Chris Paul lover?
I mean, it's part of it, but again, like the biggest thing for me is the fit doesn't really work. I mean, even in OKC, like James Harden wasn't playing an insane amount of minutes with Russell Westbrook. Like, he was often coming at the bench unit with like Nick Collison and whoever else they had at the time. And yeah. he was playing those minutes in between when Westbrook and KD were sitting, and then they'd, you know, play the last few remaining fourth quarter minutes together.
You're
and
D Fish.
Playing, yeah, and D Fish, of course, the traitor. So, I mean, they were playing less than 20 minutes a game together, and now they're going to be playing at least 20 minutes a game together. I mean, Chris Paul and James Harden's minutes were split up throughout the course of the last 2 years to where they made it work when they're on the court, you know, by themselves with the role players. And it could work with James Harden and Westbrook, but when they're on the court together, I just don't really see the fit. And with the Chris Paul, James Harden fit, they hardly ever pass the ball to each other. Like, I saw some crazy stats. Like, Chris Paul only had, like, 20 assists to James Harden from the three-point line in 2 years or something crazy like
no
that.
No way.
It was something like that. Like, he hardly ever passed it to James Harden, and the opposite as well.
Yeah, but you did mention they didn't play on the court at the same time often because they're both ball handlers and playmakers for their team.
It was more 20 minutes a game, though. So yeah, it was a sample size.
Also, we're talking about, like, 8 years ago. Like, these players have vastly improved their game. And, like, again, you can look at a bit of history, but I think their playing styles over the last 3-4 years are more indicative of how this is going to go. Like, this is going to be probably an offense where they just, like, take turns on who's going to really initiate the offense, who's going to take the shot. I don't really think that this fit is going to be considerably worse than having Chris Paul on their team. I think one thing that's interesting is on the defensive side, Chris Paul is actually a very good defender for his size. And I think you're going to see a drop in defense for the Rockets. And that's something you probably wouldn't want to see because they give up enough points as it is. But I don't hate this trade if I'm the Rockets. I think it just gives you something different. You knew that Chris Paul was definitely not on the incline. He was on the decline. And the report is that Harden was the huge like driving force for this deal. And if he wasn't going to work well with Paul going forward, they had to get a player at like who can maybe potentially work, and it's not a huge drop off. So I kind of like them getting Harden, Westbrook.
Yeah, we sort of saw it coming to an end between Harden and Chris Paul during the playoffs, right? Like, we all saw the yelling matches on the bench. There was one instance where, you know, they finally had something good to say, like some good stretch on the floor, and Chris Paul comes out yapping at Harden, and Harden just goes, "Man, there's always something going on with you." Like, he's one of those guys that just constantly chirps, and it's hard to play for that kind of leader, if you want to call him a leader, right? Like, it's just intolerable for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think, like, given Houston's position where their star player, Harden, didn't seem to be working with Paul down the stretch, and then Paul's on this massive contract, like, I don't think they did a bad job in acquiring Westbrook. Obviously, they gave up a lot for him in terms of, like, picks and pick swaps, but like, they were kind of hands were tied, and you know what? I don't think they decreased that much in terms of their ranking going into next season, but I don't think it was a huge upgrade either. I think it's just, like, a move that gives them a different approach at hopefully getting a bit further in the playoffs.
Josh, how far do you see this team actually making it now?
We'll give them the Rockets usual and, you know, second round and out.
That's more than OKC can say.
I predict that Denver's going to beat them this year.
Oh, finally. That would be amazing. I've been waiting for this for a long time.
I'm still skeptical. I think there's still going to be a team that will probably make it as far as the Western Conference Finals, but I don't see them making it to the finals, especially with the LA teams being better. I have a question. So OKC, beginning of July to OKC right now, do you think that, obviously they're a worse team, but do you think they got, like, they did a good job of kind of dumping those two players and starting the rebuild?
Yeah, I mean, being forced in the position that they were with, you know, Paul George demanding a trade, and then thus, you know, Russell Westbrook wanting out because he doesn't have the second tier star with him. They got, what, like 8 picks and 5 pick swaps? They have 15 first round picks over the course of the next 8 years or so.
Yeah.
And their picks line up with when these teams are going to be bad too, so. Or potentially bad. And
I think the key thing, too, is they still have a lot of young players, and they got out of that luxury tax, which was important for them as well. And I don't think Chris Paul is going to play a single game in a Thunder uniform. And I think kind of feel bad for the guy because he's at the tail end of his career, and he's definitely like chasing a ring for a title contender. And he can definitely play some valuable minutes, but I just don't know where he ends up. Wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in the East, but this team is going to, OKC is going to be a completely different team. They're going to be a bottom dweller for sure in the West.
Imagine if Chris Paul got like Luke Ridnour'd, got traded like four times during an offseason. That'd be incredible.
I don't think that's possible with his contract.
I know, right? Yeah.
On the opposite side of things, like imagine if he went full heel and just, you know, reached a contract buyout with OKC and then just went to the Lakers on the minimum. Oh my goodness, that'd be amazing.
That'd be hilarious. And then we would finally have Chris Paul and LeBron James together.
Yeah, yeah. But then he was the one that, you know, obviously arranged for this in the CBA. So I don't really think that Chris Paul is going to be giving away any dollars anytime
soon. Hell no.
No.
Raj, I actually feel very differently. I think he's going to play for OKC at least half the year.
Just to get paid. He does.
Yeah, I think he could teach these young guys a lot. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like Chris Paul has that complex with him. Like, he has, like, wannabe big man complex. He wants to be in the limelight. And, like, obviously I don't know him, but, like, based off of his past and like the teams he's played for and the personality he has, I feel like he thinks he's too good for OKC, which he very might well be. And I think he's not going to give up much money. He might end up playing like half the season and get traded to a contending team. But I personally don't think he ends up playing a game for OKC.
I really hope that he doesn't go to Miami. That's like the one place I don't want him to go to, because they're just a middling team just going nowhere. I mean, he'll put up stats and everything, but, you know, I'd rather he either stay with OKC and really help SGA come along, because he's going to be one of the better point guards in the league in about 3 to 5 years. So if he has Chris Paul teaching him a few things in the pick and rolls and such, and defensively, I think that SGA's, you know, development is going to go a lot quicker than what it would have, you know, playing with whoever the hell the backup point guard was before.
Oh, Ramon Felton. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he's going to get real fat in OKC then. We don't want that.
Oh, man.
Yo, and then on the opposite side of things, like, the other team I can see him go to is the Timberwolves, because they're in need for a point guard right now, and they have some contracts they can dole out to OKC, like Jeff Teague's expiring contract and maybe some of the mid-level guys. So if he's able to get with Towns, and Towns finally has a point guard that can get him the ball, that'll be something to see.
If you're Minnesota, would you trade Andrew Wiggins for Chris Paul?
No, absolutely.
Like, their contracts could work. And in OKC sense, like, they get a young player who they can work with and have someone for the future. Obviously, you're paying them a ton of money, but that could be something. When you mentioned Minnesota, I'm like, oh, you have to make the contracts work. And Minnesota's been dying to get a point guard. So that could work. But again, starting middle of October or end of October, I don't see him in an OKC uniform.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the analytics team for OKC and you see Andrew Wiggins, whenever he sees an OKC uniform, he goes for 40-plus points. Maybe if he's wearing said uniform, maybe he averages 40 points per game.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so stupid. That's the analytics we need.
Oh, man, you're an analytics guru.
No, I'm trying to unleash Andrew Wiggins here, okay? Maybe that's the key.
All right, speaking of Andrew Wiggins, Team Canada's roster for the FIBA World Cup has been announced, and guess who's a no-show this year?
Well,
again.
That's expected.
Again and again. We have all the major players. Jamal Murray's there, Corey Joseph, Kelly Olynyk, SGA, your boy. Just no Andrew Wiggins. Even RJ Barrett's playing. No Andrew Wiggins.
Everyone besides Wiggins is playing.
Literally every player. Tristan Thompson is there.
Have you guys seen N'Keal Alexander Walker play in Summer League?
No, I haven't. Is he nice?
Oh, my God. He's putting up some stats, man. He looks good on the court. Like, he's going to be a top-level talent. Some people are saying he's already the best player in the draft, which is a bit ridiculous. But.
Is he a cousin?
Yeah, first cousin of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Is he better? Yeah. Would you say he's better?
He looks really good, man.
But could he be better?
I think so.
Interesting.
Also, there was a Canadian, too. I think Brandon Clark, who won Summer League MVP, and he's Canadian as well.
Yeah, I didn't know that until yesterday. That guy's a beast.
Yeah, I saw him in the March Madness, and like, he seemed the player that relied a lot on his athleticism, but his game was very polished, and he's kind of the new breed of center in the NBA, like a mobile athletic center, kind of look more like a Clint Capella mold. who works primarily close to the rim. So he could be an effective player, and Memphis obviously has a good core and a young core. And I wouldn't be surprised if later in the season he ends up starting over JV or them splitting minutes more or less, giving the young guys a chance. I really think Memphis is in it for the future.
You hear that, Joss? Starting over JV?
Not now, not now. But
I mean, Memphis is on the youth movement, so why not, right?
Oh, I thought you'd be more insulted by someone starting over JV. That's disappointing.
As long as JV gets his minutes and he gets his 2010s, I'm all good with it.
I was as long as he gets his paycheck, I think we're good with it.
Yeah.
Get your money. All right. Let's do this one quickly. JR is waived officially, finally, and rumors that he's not going to the Lakers to join LeBron. He's obviously already used LeBron to get paid after their championship year. So what's the point? He can go wherever he wants now.
Where do you think he's going? Like in like 10 seconds or less? I wouldn't be surprised.
China.
No, get out of here.
No, no.
He's going to China. He's washed.
Nah, man, he's not going there. He actually played in China before. Remember during the lockout year?
Why would he not go there? He's going to get paid more and have a bigger role.
I think he's going to Philly.
Back up. That's a good call. That's a great call, Peter. Yeah, that's a great call. And they need the shooting.
Exactly. And he doesn't have to do a lot. Just play off the bench, hit your threes, or don't hit your threes, whatever you feel like, and then just chill. It'll be great.
Nah, he's going to play on Jeremy Lin's team in China. Shanghai Sharks, baby. 2019 champs.
You don't think Jeremy Lin's going to come back either?
No, hell no. Jeremy Lin's going to China for sure.
Nah, man. Someone's going to pick him up. Watch. It's going to be like an Orlando type of team. Maybe Washington. Ooh, Washington for Jeremy Lin.
I was just saying as a replacement for Thomas Satoransky.
They already got that. They got Isaiah Thomas. Him and Isaiah will fight for a minute. So that'd be hilarious.
Oh, true. And they have Isaiah. And they have Ish Smith. Ooh, maybe Detroit. Maybe Jeremy Lin can go to Minnesota. Because they already lost Tyus. They only have Jeff Teague, who you think is going to get traded. And then bang.
Chris Lin's Paul. Jeremy Lin in the cold.
It'll be just like New York. It'll be perfect.
Except with no media.
That's true. That's a shame.
I'll average 20 points a game in silence.
Hey. You know who might actually average 20 points is Ben Simmons. Just signed 5-year, $170 million. That's a big-ass contract.
Yeah, he better average 20 points. But how many of those points are going to be jump shots? Like, that's the real question.
I think he's going to hit one a game.
One, maybe. But, like, you know what the crazy thing is? He's getting, like, this is what? His third full season in the NBA. Second full season, third in the NBA. And he's getting almost Kawhi money. And obviously he's a good player. Like, he's going to be a point guard of the future. He has a unique talent set, but like where do they get this money from? Like, the valuation of these players is like insane, like absolutely insane.
I mean, thank Chris Paul for the CBA negotiations, man.
I mean, the thing is, if they didn't pay him, somebody else would have, right? So they sort of had to do this, but...
Oh, no, no. I know. I agree. Like, I'm not saying they made the wrong move, but like 5 years, $170 million for a player who's... This is his fourth year in the NBA. Most players, they're very happy if their final contract is like anywhere close to what Ben Simmons is getting paid. And he's probably going to get two more massive contracts like this. Maybe another 3 and maybe another 4 year in there. Like another 8 years after this. So this is just incredible.
Hold on. You should be more insulted that Jamal Murray is making that money, not Ben Simmons. You know what I mean? I would say Simmons has earned it much more considering he was Rookie of the Year and an All-Star last year.
Right? Like, hey, Jamal Murray is a proven playoff performer now.
He is, but he doesn't have anything, like no awards behind his name, right? That's the only issue. He got rookie sophomore game MVP. Like, as much as I love the kid, he doesn't have anything compared to Ben Simmons' resume.
I mean, next year he's going to have an Olympic gold medal behind his name, so there's that.
Oh, my bad.
Well, they're both the same age. I just found out they're both the same age. So, like, just removing that from the equation, I think Ben Simmons' persona is kind of amplified because he's kind of associated with LeBron. He's had a lot of hype around him.
I thought you were going to say associated with the Kardashians.
Well, that too. Like, that adds to it. If he was in the situation of Jamal Murray, I don't think he would be as effective as a player. I think Jamal Murray, I'm not saying he's a better player, but I'm just saying Jamal Murray's, I would say, has a similar pedigree to what Simmons has, just in terms of kind of their contribution in the NBA thus far.
I mean, Sixers management was given a lot of credit for being forward-thinking and, you know, trading for Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris and surrounding them. Obviously, surrounding their two best players are those two guys. Now they bring one of the guys back. And they made a pretty good trade with getting Josh Richardson back as well. But if I was them in the contract negotiations, which might eventually leak eventually, I would put, you know, bonus restrictions in this contract and saying that Ben Simmons has to make set amount of jump shots in order to reach this bonus qualification. Like, he should be making like $150 million over those 5 years, and he gets extra $25 million if he hits five jump shots every 2 weeks.
Five every two.
And then increase that in the second year, you know, 10 jump shots every 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there is something. Like, there's no way that they're just going to say, hey, here's $34 million a year, go nuts and don't do anything except layups. Like, there's no way.
I mean, the Timberwolves did that with Wiggins. They were like, oh, you promised to get better next year. Here's your money.
Yeah, I don't think that Philadelphia management or ownership is that silly, though.
Honestly, if he just made like 1-3 a game at 33%+, that should be in the contract. There's the mark right there. Be like slightly below league average, make 1-3 a game. Here's an extra $30 million.
Remember 2 years ago when Mo Harkless was just over his, like, the percentage he needed? I think it was like 37 or something. And he just refused to shoot any more threes for the rest of the year.
That was genius. Great.
Genius play. All right, let's move on to some trivia, guys. All right. Now, since, have you guys been watching Summer League at all?
I've been watching the highlights.
Raj?
That's a bit more than me. I had to take a break after the finals.
I've only been watching the Canadian guys' highlights, to be honest.
Oh, man, this is not going to be good. Have you watched it in the past?
The Knicks, too, man. That white guy can play.
Yeah, I forget what his name is. Pretty complex, but he's nice.
It's like Ignas Karakovich or something like that.
Yeah, close enough. I like it. Anyways, this is going to be a Las Vegas Summer League-based trivia. Can you name me the last 10 MVPs?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
My. Oh, my God.
I know Tyus Jones is in there.
Oh, yeah. 2016.
Yeah, Brandon Clark this year's.
Thanks. Good job. Yeah.
Last year's Summer League. Was that Trae Young?
Last year was a guy that Josh thought was going to be amazing with LeBron, but was complete ass.
Oh, Josh Hart.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
He's still going to be a good player.
He's a decent player. He's an average NBA player.
He's not amazing.
He'll be a Derek Fisher in this league.
No, no.
No, D. Fish is
Derek Fisher, yeah, he had intangibles too.
Josh Hart doesn't have those intangibles.
Derek Fisher and okay, let's not get into that. Him screaming over the Jazz that 1 year. Oh my!
He has a real off the court presence, Derek Fisher.
Oh yeah, ask Matt Barnes about that.
No, ask his wife about that.
Oh, he's got all the intangibles with her.
Let's keep going, keep going. The year before that, you had one of the, like, the most publicized players ever going into his rookie year.
Yeah, I know this. Lonzo Ball. There I remember go. That.
There you go. Yeah, that was 2017.
Yeah, I remember that whole shoe ordeal with him getting the big baller, the Nike, then Adidas, and just going through that all.
Triple Bs. Yeah. All right, before that, we had a San Antonio Spur.
Spur.
Is he still on the team?
Nope.
Oof.
Currently a Memphis Grizzly. Slow-mo.
And... Oh
God!
Yo, this is so funny, man. These guys are so obscure.
Like, how many of these guys are rotation?
Kyle Anderson.
Yeah, Kyle Anderson.
Yeah, there we go. His name was right there. I could see it was coming in slow mo. My name was coming in slow mo.
All right, the year before that, 2014, you had what team was this guy drafted? He was drafted to the Wizards. Oh, he's not in the league anymore. This is gonna be tough.
Bothered you in the league.
Yeah, he's a guard. He's a junior.
What team? He played on which team?
Washington.
I don't know. Yao Ming Jr.
Glenn Rice Jr.
Yeah. You got the junior in there.
There it is. All right. This next one. Toronto Raptor, 2013.
2013. Was he a second round pick?
No.
2013.
Is a lotto pick, if I recall correctly.
The Raps 2013 lotto pick.
The foreigner?
Oh.
JV.
Roko Ukic.
Roko Ukic.
Way back playback.
Oh, man. JV. Good call, yeah. Raj.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right. 2012, we had co-MVPs. One is hit the first... Is it the first game-winning three? Has had two major game win or series-clinching threes in his career already.
Damian Lillard.
Yes, sir. And next to him, this guy is literally known as, like, the Summer League god.
I know this one. I got this one. Anthony Randolph.
No.
Oh, come on, man. That's a true Summer League MVP.
No. This guy's equally up there, though.
Remember when he was called Magic Randolph?
Yeah.
Man, he was a monster. He was like Giannis before Giannis.
Magic Randolph was a god. This guy's a point guard. He was on the Grizzlies for a bit.
Oh, I know that.
No idea.
He's in. It's in your head, right?
Yeah. He's not in the league anymore, right?
Josh Shelby. Remember him?
Never heard of him.
Exactly what makes him a Summer League MVP god.
Didn't he average like 30 points in Summer League?
Something stupid, yeah.
Yeah.
And then before that, we had your favorite untradeable contract, John Wall.
Oh.
Yeah. So those are the last 10. So hopefully Brendan Clark breaks this trend of guys going out of the league.
It's either you're like a player that's going to be there for 10 years or you're out in two.
Yeah. Or you just become like a rotation player like Kyle Anderson or Jonas. Let's hope he becomes one of those.
But JV's going to have like probably a 10-year career.
Whoa. 15, relax. 15, yeah, come on. Give the man some credit.
He just won't be paid well.
But when did he come in the league? 2012? 2013?
2013.
Yeah, exactly. 10 years. It's like 3 or 4 more years.
You think he's going to be in the league only until he's about 31?
Is he only 27?
He's young, man. He's like 27 or 28.
Wow. That is very young.
I just think his game is kind of getting flushed out.
He does have a dinosaur game.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, guys? No? Okay. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes. Hit us up on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace. So he was like talking shit to me. He got like a couple of like weird layups on me. So obviously I started to like go at him, started posting him up. And then eventually I got the ball at like, got at like the mid-range wing, spotted up, or like face the basket. I did like a jab and then I like crossed over to the left and just dropped him.
Like,
holy fuck, as if that just happened. And then
did
I hit
you
the
look
shot.
At him?
Yeah. Well, I like looked down, I noticed he was on the floor, and I was like, the fuck? And I obviously took the shot, I hit it, and then I just started laughing. And then he subbed off.